It really is a pleasure to be here. I've been once before, it was about a year ago, and as Ian said, I just accompanied Mike Springer. He's a great friend of mine, and I know he's a great friend to many of you too. I think my wife's especially pleased I'm here because I've grown 2 foot, and she's always saying, I wish you were a bit taller, and now I am. So here I am. Right, okay, great, we're on. Now, as I say, I've only been here once before, and I was actually visiting another church a few weeks ago. And it was a church very different from this one. And I kind of sneaked in, very different church to what I'm used to, and sat at the back. And next to this very kind old lady, you know, typical grandma type lady. If you're a typical grandma type lady, it's no offence intended, but I was sat next to this lady. And the vicar said, as you will know, I didn't know this, but he said to the congregation, as you will know, we're raising some money for the roof. And he said, if anyone can come forward now and give me £1,000, you can choose free hymns today. Quick as a flash, and if you believe this story, you'll believe anything, but quick as a flash, this little old lady puts a hand up and says, I'll give you £1,000 to choose free hymns today. And she hobbled down the aisle as quick as she could to gasps of astonishment from the rest of the congregation, opens a handbag and whisks out £1,000 in £20 notes and gives it to the vicar. And he said, wow, you can choose free hymns today. So she turns to the congregation, she says, I'll have him, I'll have him, and I'll have him. You don't do that at this church, do you? Please tell me that at this church. Now, I've got a lot of paper here, but it's not all notes, don't worry. In fact, none of it's notes, so don't worry. That's just for later. Right, what am I talking to you today about? You can be adopted by God. You can join God's family today. That's what I'm talking to you about. And I love Ken's prophetic word there. And I'm talking to people today who haven't really yet taken that first step in. Okay, so some of us might be ankle deep in God already. Some of us are knee deep. Some of us are deeper than that. God wants some of us to swim with him. Right, but I'm talking mainly today to those people who haven't even stepped in yet. They're just kind of finding out about God, exploring about God, wondering if he even exists, wondering if he is even true, if he's even real. And in about 20 minutes or so, 25 minutes, I'm going to actually invite people to come forward to join God's family. Now, you might be sat there thinking, not me. I'll never do that. I'll never come forward and join God's family. Well, guess what? I was once sat in a church like you at the back, arms folded, thinking, not me. I'll never join God's family. But I did, because I realized God is real and God is great and God cares for you. And I realized that for me one day, and I joined God's family. So straight away, I'm going to read from the Bible. This is in a book called Galatians, chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. You'll find that in the New Testament. And it says this, but when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, which was Jesus, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Now, I'm going to explain those few sentences there as we go through. Okay, so you don't have to get it all now. You don't have to understand it all now. I'm going to explain it today. And I'm going to explain it the best I can, right? But preaching's a great job, you know. It's a great job to do because the results aren't dependent on me, right? It's not me trying to persuade you today to join God's family. Do you know who's trying to persuade you today to join God's family? God himself. God is here. And it's God who's calling you. So the pressure's off me. It's no problem for me. I'll do my best. I'll preach to the best of my abilities. But it actually doesn't matter that much if I'm good, bad or indifferent, because it's God who's calling you. It's God who's saying, come and join my family. Why don't you come and join my family? Okay, quick question, and please don't sit in silence. You can shout out answers. What was the most UK event? What was the most Googled UK event in 2011? Any suggestions? Royal wedding. Spot on. And there they are. What was the second most UK Googled event? It was the release of FIFA 12 for all you computer buffs. Now, that's a sign of the times, isn't it? But some people are thinking, the release of FIFA 12, what's he on about? But I'm guessing you're all familiar with the royal wedding. And there they are. Prince William, that's right, isn't it? And Kate Middleton. What a fantastic couple. And don't they look every inch the prince and princess? They're our future king and queen. Okay, but you can look at Kate Middleton and yes, she looks the part now. She really does. She looks like a future queen. But you know, there's a little part of her that is actually an unlikely royal member, an unlikely royal family member. If you look back into her background, her mum came from a labouring and a mining background. They lived up this part of the world, actually, in the northeast of England. Her mum was brought up on a council estate. Now, I'm not having a go at council estates. I lived much of my adult life on a council estate, right? But as I walked around that council estate, I didn't see many girls who were future queens of England, okay? So she, in some ways, is an unlikely member of the British royal family. So how has she got to be where she is now? Well, she wasn't born to it. He, the prince, met her. He fell in love with her, and he chose her. And what did she do? She accepted. Now, Kate, what first attracted you to the future King William? I don't know. But she said yes. She accepted the invitation. So her family background had nothing to say she would be a future queen. Our queen. But that is now her destiny. But she had to say yes. And today I'm talking about joining God's family. And joining God's family is far more powerful, far more royal, and far more significant than joining the British royal family, good as that must be. Okay? God isn't the King of England. God is the King of the universe. He created the universe. Do you know that? He created the universe. The creator of that universe, who holds the stars in place, who makes Earth spin at just the right speed for life to exist, who tilted the Earth for seasons to exist, the God who created everything is calling some of you today. Come and be my son. Come and be my daughter. Now, I don't know many of you. I don't really know any of you, actually, that well. And you don't know me. So I'm not going to make any comment on you, but I am going to make a comment on me. I am a very unlikely member of God's family. A very unlikely member. I'm not born into God's family. I'm not of noble royal birth. I'm not a president or a king. I'm not rich. You know, I'm just ordinary. In fact, let's move from king and queen to me. Now there's me, right? That's pretty much me. There I am, bumbling, making my way through life as best as I can, and a bit like Homer Simpson there, not understanding that much of it. I'm a very unlikely member of God's royal family. But the fact is, I am a member of God's royal family. I could tell you stuff about me, I'm not going to, because you'd be gossiping about it for weeks. But I could tell you stuff about me that you would think, surely that disqualifies him from being in God's royal family. But I am in God's royal family. How did that happen? Because God knew me, and he loved me, and he invited me to join his family. And he's doing that for you today. You might not even believe in God. You might be sat there thinking, I don't even know if there is a God. But he knows you. He is in love with you. And he is saying, come and be my son. Come and be my prince. Come and be my daughter. Come and be my princess. And you know, to join God's family doesn't mean you abandon the family you've already got. I hope and pray that you are part of a good family. You're a biological, natural family. And if you are, brilliant. Actually, God wants to enhance that. I've got a fantastic family life. I'm really blessed in that way. But God makes it better than me and my wife could ever make it. God wants to enhance your family life. Or maybe you're the opposite. Maybe family life for you is something best forgotten. Maybe family life for you was just trauma and heartache and pain. Well, guess what? Whichever of those camps you fit in, God is saying, come and join my family. Come and be adopted by me. there's a kind of common misconception amongst the public that we're all God's children. We're just all God's children. It's true that God created us. Do you know this? God knitted you together in your mother's womb. That's how intimately God knows you. Can you imagine that? God knitted you together. This is what the Bible tells us. He knitted you together in your mother's womb. That's how much God knows you. It tells us that even hairs on our head are numbered. I don't like to keep him too busy, as you can see. But God knows you intimately. He knows everything you've ever done, good and bad. Good and bad. He knows everything you've ever said, good and bad. He knows everything you've even ever thought, good and bad. Now, there's a scary thought. And what does he say? Come and be my prince. Come and be my princess. I love you. You can accept or reject a place in God's family today. I don't know what circumstances you're going through right now. But you can find love in the most distraught and awful places. Whatever you're going through, whatever you've done, no matter who you've hurt or who's hurt you, God just wants you to be his son and his daughter. Isn't that an awesome thing? Whatever you've done and whatever the world's done to you. But why be adopted by God? Okay? Why be adopted by God? I'm going to give you some reasons. First one, you get a new father. As I've already said, it's not replacing the father you've already got. Okay? But you get a new father. And that father is God. And this isn't like father, stern and distant and cold. This is a personal, close, warm, loving God. Jesus said we can call him Abba. Now, Jesus wasn't into 70s Swedish disco bands. He didn't mean that Abba. He meant Abba, as in the Aramaic word, which means daddy. He was saying, you can call him daddy. I've got a daughter who's 13 now. She's here. She stopped calling me daddy now. She's far too cool for that. But I remember when she used to call me dad and daddy. It's like intimate. It means something. And God, who created the universe, God who created the planets and put them there, is calling you, saying, let me be your dad. Let me be your father. And he has a plan for you. There are 7 billion people or so, I'm told, in this world. And he has a plan for you. And he has a plan for me. Now, maybe you're doing great in life. I don't need a plan, thank you. I've got my own plan. I'm doing great. Well, I hope you are doing great in life. We want that for you. Of course we do. But you know what? You can have an even better plan with God. It might include what you're doing now. You know, it doesn't mean you have to sort of, dress in sandals and wear a robe because you've become a Christian, become something weird or become something you're not. If you like sandals and robes, that's also fine, right? But if that's not you, then it's unlikely that God will make you become that. Do you know what I'm saying? God will help you where you are. God has a fantastic plan for you. A plan to prosper you, the Bible says, and not to harm you. God wants to get the best out of you. And he wants to give the best into you. And when God's got something to give you, it's pretty good. A plan to change your life for good forever. And through his Holy Spirit, he'll be with you every step of the way. You will know him. You will know when God's talking to you, when he's guiding you through life. He's a wonderful counselor. You know, sometimes we get into stuck, don't we? And we need a little bit of counseling or help. The best counselor you can have in life is Father God, Daddy. I'm 41 and I've got a daddy. And he's the creator of the universe. And you can have him too. And he's got a fantastic plan. And your plan will look very different to mine. Because God knows you intimately. And he knows me intimately. He knows how to get the best out of me. And he wants to give me the best. And he's same for you. It'll look different for you. But you can have a new dad. He's got stuff for you that will just change your life and blow your mind. But you know what? It's more than just having this great plan. The Bible says this, that fullness of joy comes from the presence of the Lord. Nothing will make you happier. And I know because I've done both, right? I didn't become a Christian until I was like mid-20s. I've tried everything in life to make me happy. Everything. Nothing will make you happier than just knowing God. Knowing He's with you. Guiding you. Helping you. Lifting you up when you fall. Laughing with you. Crying with you. Helping you conquer difficult circumstances. You can be joyful through difficult circumstances. You can only do that if you know God. It is not normal to be joyful through difficult circumstances. But when you know God's with you and what He's got for you, you triumph over difficult circumstances. God can heal you. But you know, just knowing Him, just being with Him, is just the most only way to get full happiness. I love holidays, I love eating out and all of that. But just living with God, knowing His presence, nothing can make you happier. So a new father. Who wouldn't want a new father who is awesome, powerful, loving, will give you peace, will give you joy, will give you hope. The creator of the universe, interested in you. He's available to you today. You can find love in a hopeless place today. I'm just going to read three quotes that I was given by people who weren't necessarily noticeably lonely. I can relate to some of these. Maybe you can. This is what someone said. Everyone said university would be great, but for me it was torture. I felt miserable, shy and alone, as if I was on one side of a glass wall and everyone else was on the other. Another person. I suppose it's what is known as a midlife crisis. I relate to this one more. Nothing had changed in my life. I have a wife I love, two wonderful children, a job I enjoy. Then a month or so after my 40th birthday, I went to some god-awful hole and felt as lonely as hell. These are real people, real quotes. And a third one. Mostly I'm okay. It's Christmas time that it hits me worst, as that's when he died. Then I stare at his empty chair and feel swamped by an awful, aching loneliness. With God, you are never alone. You can be happy as you can be right now, but you can be happier still with God. But if you're lonely, you can have the creative universe today as your dad. You get a new family. Guess what? You get me as a brother. Has that put you off? It's not meant to put you off, but maybe it has. You get Ian as your brother. You get to live your life with these lovely folk here in Emmanuel Church, Durham. It's not a Sunday morning thing. Church is not a Sunday morning thing. We meet on a Sunday, we love it, we worship God together. This is when we join up as a whole church. But you know, joining this family, this church family, it's not to replace the one you've got, but it's a new family. And this is where you work out what God's got for you. It's where people who are further on in you, who are deeper into that water, as Ken said, can help you take those steps so you can get deeper into it. If you're stood on the edge of diving into God, really, you can do that today. And there's people here who will help you do that walk. My wife was at this church a few weeks ago, just popped along. And a couple of ladies prayed with her. I think you were one, actually. And sorry, I don't know your name. And they just prayed with her about something. And those prayers affected Tony's life more than they knew, actually. They were hitting issues and just really speaking to her. God was speaking to my wife through these ladies in this church. The people here who are furthering with God can help you in your walk with God, can help you live out this plan God's got for you. It's a wonderful family to be part of. And you get a new future. Now, these overlap a little bit. But your future will be different, unquestionably different. You become a new creation. You're not just joining a club. You become a new creation, the Bible tells us. But what I'm really talking about here, about a new future, is not just what happens in this life, but actually what happens after you die. You know, there's not many things certain in life. Taxes are one. Death is another. You know, it's not easy to speak about these issues. But if I didn't, I wouldn't be doing my job properly. One day we die. That's a fact, isn't it? We know that, right? And this might not be comfortable for you, but after you die, there are only two possible destinations. It's not true that we just become worm food. For the first 25 years of my life, I believed that. You die, you become worm food, that's it. And then I met Jesus, effectively. I met God. And I found out that wasn't true. After you die, there are two destinations. One is heaven and one is hell. That's it. And being adopted by God secures you a place in heaven. I've already said, I'm Homer Simpson. That's me, right? I'm a bumbling buffoon. I've got things in my life that I would never share with you. Things in my past I would never share with you. And I'm going to heaven. How can that be? I can stand before you today knowing with all certainty that when I die, I'm going to heaven. All certainty. There's many people here can tell you the same thing. All certainty. That is my future destination. I'm going to heaven. Have I earned a place in heaven? Ask my wife. She'll tell you I haven't earned a place in heaven. She knows me. Do I deserve a place in heaven? Not at all. Have I lived a better life than, you know, the rest of the population? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I'm going to heaven. You can secure your place in heaven today. It's not to say you'll end up there today. Hopefully it'll be a few years yet. But you can secure your place in heaven today. Kate Middleton knows she will be the Queen of England one day. Why? Because she's married the future king. God has adopted me as his son. God is the King of heaven. And when I die, I go home. Home. I go home to be a prince in my dad's kingdom. Me. I mean, that's ludicrous. If it wasn't so true, I'd say it was mad. Why? Why am I going to my dad's kingdom? Because he's adopted me. He's given me full rights of son. Full rights. Listen, if you're a Christian already here today, just think on this. What God has got planned for Jesus, he's got planned for you. He's your brother. And if you're not a Christian yet, if you're not adopted into God's family yet, if you're not a follower of Jesus, I'm coming to Jesus very soon, then heaven is not your current future destination. It doesn't matter how lovely and good you are, and I'm coming to that in a moment as well, why that doesn't get you a place in heaven in itself. I will go to heaven because my dad has said, come in, you're welcome. Come in, son. It's wonderful. So how can I be adopted by God? God wants you to be adopted today. He doesn't want you to leave this building if you are not his son or daughter already. We've looked at why be adopted. And now we're looking at how. And I'm going to show you a picture now that is a little bit graphic, to be honest. But as I've already said, if I don't show you this kind of stuff, I'm not doing my job properly. He is how you can be adopted by God. That's a gruesome picture, isn't it? That wakes you up on a Sunday morning, doesn't it? That makes you think. Who is he? He's Jesus. Jesus is the only man who ever lived, or woman. I sometimes forget to say that. And women think, yeah, I'm all right, because they don't sin. He is the only man or woman who ever lived who never did anything wrong, ever. And look what happened to him. He was punished horribly, tortured, and then executed at about the age of 33. That's what we did to him. That's what humanity and people did to him. Now, that's just a clip from the film The Passion of the Christ. What a film. But if you read the Bible, and you read what happened to Jesus, and you read up about Roman execution, you realize probably it was something quite like that. That's not overplaying it. It was probably something quite like that. I kind of took that film at face value. I really felt that's pretty much what it was like. Roman execution was barbaric. He was executed, and yet he did nothing wrong. He didn't do anything wrong. So why was he executed? He was executed for me. That wakes me up on a Sunday morning. He was executed for you. For you. So that you could be adopted by God. Well, how's that work? There's a little three-lettered word that pollutes us and affects us. And that's called sin. Now, sin's kind of one of those old-fashioned words that you only tend to hear in church. What is sin? It's just doing something that isn't pleasing to God. It's doing something that is offensive to God. Okay? And God hates sin. But I thought God was like a cuddly, loving grandfather who just said, there, there. No, no, listen. God hates sin. He loves you, the sinner. He loves me, the sinner. But he hates sin. And God points out in the Bible, actually, that all of us, even the most wonderful people like Mother Teresa, all of us have sinned. A sin can be through an action. You steal something or, you know, you break the law of the land, right, basically. That could be a sin. It could be an attitude. The Bible says even an attitude of sin is sin. So I'm a happily married man, right? But if, you know, I walk down a street and I have a lustful thought about another woman, I've not done anything about it, but I've sinned. I have an attitude of sin. That is a sin. God says that is a sin. In fact, you know, it's even deeper than that. By nature, we are sinful. We can be asleep and we're sinners. I'm not telling you about my dreams. We can be asleep and we're sinners. We're just sinful by nature. And I, you know, when I was first told that, you're a sinner, I was like, yeah, I know, actually. It wasn't hard for me to believe that. I knew. I was like, yeah, I know, actually, yeah. That was the easy bit for me. Some people found that really hard. I'm not a sinner. How dare you say that? But, you know, if we look at our hearts and look at what we've ever done and what we've even ever said, and even more scary, what we've ever thought, you know, we're guilty, aren't we? I stand before you guilty. What's Jesus got to do with that? Well, Jesus went to the cross to take my punishment. God hates sin. He's angry with sin. He's angry with my sin, or he was. But he sent Jesus, the son he loves, his only son who he loves. He sent Jesus to go through that because he loves you that much. So all the things you've ever said, done, or thought wrong were put on him. He took the punishment. He took it. So now, if you choose to follow Jesus, if you choose to follow God, you can stand before him and he looks at you clean. Oh, my sin is gone. My sin is gone. It's on him. You know, it's not just a film. It's not just a gruesome picture. He went through that. That was his life. That's how his life ended here on earth. On the third day he was resurrected. He beat death. He beat sin. But my sin put him up there. And your sin, actually. And someone has to pay the price for your sin when you die. You can let Jesus pay it. And God looks at you as his son or daughter, pure and white. He looks at you like Jesus, who's never done anything wrong. He looks at me like that. It's ludicrous but true. That's how much he loves us. And he says, come into my kingdom. Come into heaven. And you know, even one sin against your name, if you haven't had Jesus pay for even one sin you've done, then actually, he doesn't accept you into his kingdom. Being a good person isn't enough, because even one sin bars you from heaven. One sin bars you from that relationship with him, unless you've had it wiped clean. Does that mean I'll never sin again? As I've already said, ask my wife. It's not reality, is it? Of course I will sin again. But every sin I've ever done in the past, even now, and in the future, is paid for by him. Paid for by Jesus. And all you have to do is follow Jesus. Accept what he did. In fact, let me put the next slide on. It's actually as easy as A, B, C. To become adopted by God today is as easy as A, B, C. One, you accept that you have sinned, but you make it personal. I accept that I have sinned. And I cannot get to heaven because of that sin. I cannot have relationship with God. God can't look at sin. He hates it. I cannot get to heaven because of that sin. I cannot start relationship with God today because of that sin. Unless it's dealt with. B. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God and my personal Saviour. Some of you might make that choice today. Some of you might just be hearing a whisper of God even now. Come on. Come and be my son. My prince, be washed clean. Start a relationship with me today, a relationship that continues into heaven forever. And heaven is a perfect place. No more heartache, no more suffering. A friend of mine once said, in heaven, I'll have no more hassle with the boiler. I mean, that's true, actually. That's true. All suffering and pain and heartache and tears are wiped away. The Bible tells us that. You know, Jesus is the only way to heaven. The only way. No other way will take that sin from you. You can be his princess today. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God and my personal Saviour. And see, I commit to following him as best as I can. You don't have to know everything. But don't think you have to leave this building and read the Bible first. Don't think you have to leave this building and be as good as Ian first. Definitely don't do that. You don't have to get it all today. God would rather you end up in heaven with all your questions than not get there because you had questions. Bring your questions. Bring them on a Sunday. Bring them to the next Alpha course that runs here or whatever. Bring them to your small groups or whatever you do in this church. Just bring your questions. Ask people who are further in that water that Ken talked about. They will answer them, or they will help you answer them. So let's see what God says. Let's get the Bible, or whatever. But don't let it stop you today. You're following Jesus as best as you can. That's all. Ankle deep. That's enough. Toe deep. Dip a toe in. That's enough. You can do that today. And God, if you dip a toe into Jesus, God calls you son and daughter, fully. Not, I'll see how we get on. Not, you've got to pass a test. Not, I'll see how good you become. Not, I'll see if you stop sinning, you know, not if you keep to your New Year's resolutions, no. You dip a toe into Jesus, and he calls you a daughter or a son, right there, and he keeps that relationship forever. Let me just read something. A couple of friends of mine, a couple of friends of mine bought me this book, and here's a story from it. I'm nearly done. A young couple, having discovered that they would not be able to have children, decided to adopt an older child. They contacted a Christian adoption agency, that doesn't really matter, the Christian bit, but there you go, and then proceeded to fill out the papers and go through the interviews necessary for adopting a child. One day the good news came that there was a 10-year-old boy who needed a home and was available to this couple. They were overjoyed. The couple proceeded to prepare a bedroom just for him. They put up wallpaper that had footballs, basketballs and baseballs on it, obviously an American couple. They got him a very special bed and filled the room with toys that a young boy would love. When the day for the adoption came, the couple went to meet with the social worker who presented them with their new son. They brought him home and took him up to see his new bedroom. The boy was overawed by all he saw. The sports equipment, the toys, the bed, the wallpaper. Phew, all were beyond his wildest imagination. But the new parents noticed something. The boy did not seem to be very happy with it all. In fact, they began to sense some negative vibes. Puzzled, they asked their newly adopted son if there was anything wrong. The boy answered, "You're giving me all of this, and you say that this is my bedroom. You tell me I get to live here, and that all of this is mine to keep. What I want to know is, what do I have to do to get this stuff and to keep this stuff? What do you expect from me in order for me to have all this and keep this room?" The parents, somewhat taken aback by the boy's question, simply answered, "You don't have to do anything. All we want is for you to love us back. We already love you. And we want you to love us back. That's it. There's nothing more to it than that. All of this is yours simply because we love you and want you to love us in return. And so it is with the story of Jesus. God has given us Jesus as a gift. We don't have to earn it. In fact, you can't earn it. We don't have to prove that we deserve it because you don't deserve it. All God wants is for you to love him and follow Jesus. Judith, do you want to come and share what you've got?
My people, you are mine. I made you and I have redeemed you. I have saved you so that you can be mine, so that no one can doubt that you belong to me. No one can doubt that I have adopted you into my family. You are bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. I have given you my name. I have written your name in the book of life, where it can never be erased. I am for you. Who can be against you? I am on your side. You and me together are a majority against any problem, against any situation, against any lack or any opposition that you face. I want you to know that you are mine, to know that you know that you know that I will never ever leave you or forsake you. I will never ever turn my back on you. Even the best of people can fail you, can let you down. But I want you to know that I will always be there for you. I love you. I see the best in you when you can only see the worst. Because I made you. I know the beginning from the end. I know how you will turn out. Each of you is something beautiful in my hand. Each of you has a future with me for all eternity, and you cannot imagine what that will be like. The very best you have ever seen in yourself or others is only a shadow of who you really are in me, who you will become. So do not give up, my people. Do not think of yourself as less than you are. You are not a failure. You are a success in me. You are beautiful in me. You are secure with a wonderful future in me. You are fearfully and wonderfully made, and I love you. You are secure in me, my child, mine.
Thanks, Judith. Brilliant. Now listen, I'm going to ask the band to come up now, and we're going to have another time of worship. And didn't they do brilliantly first time around? Well done, Andy and the gang. Now listen here, I've got an adoption certificate. Does it mean anything? Not really, I just made it yesterday. It's just a piece of paper with some words on. I'm adopted by God. And I've got a few certificates. You don't have to have a certificate to be a follower of Jesus, to be adopted into God's family. But I just find sometimes it helps people to have something real, to remind them of the day. Now when the band start playing again, I'm just going to sit down here next to my wife. But if you want to come forward, forget about everyone else, they're just going to be worshipping their dad, who's done so much for them. They won't be aware of you even. Don't worry about it. You can come and get an adoption certificate to remind you of the day your life changed forever. For good, to remind you of the day you chose God as your dad. Ian sat here. If you want to come to Ian and just pray that prayer with him, or come to me or my wife and just pray that prayer with us, you're adopted. That's it. You become a full son of God with all the blessings that will give you, or a full daughter of God with all the blessings that will give you. So don't be shy. Okay? And even if you are shy, come and see us. Overcome it. You will not regret it. Thanks for listening.